Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scadden coming to you live from North Carolina on this wonderful Shabbat Friday as we head into the weekend, continuing to stand on the wall, praying for this nation and the Office of the President. And today is a day, hopefully we can bring peace to the situation, not only in Ukraine and Russia, but here on the home front. Because God is exposing things right now, and the prayer and the hope is that not only us, those here who are joining in with us praying, but even those who have been asleep in the seasons past can be awakened and be revived into the call of God, not only on their lives, but for this nation, to standing for the kingdom in this hour, so that we can make disciples of nations and ourselves live in a life that is honoring not only the Lord, but loving others as we are commanded to do all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. And so today I want to start off in our passage of the day. And today's passage is the entire chapter of Isaiah 14. And in this, Isaiah is shown from the Lord what is going to happen to the Israelites in regards to their situation and the coming movement to Babylon and the capture of the people. But he also tells the aftermath of that, of what will happen. And I titled today's podcast, Understanding Your Enemy, because in this hour, we have to understand what's at play. We have to understand, okay, this may happen. God may allow this to happen. Or the enemy may try to do something. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. This didn't catch God by surprise. You know, some people might be shocked by that, and I'm being very facetious, but I want to focus in on the first two verses of Isaiah 14, and it really lays the foundation for the rest of the chapter of what is to happen next. But it shows a good, perfect example in Scripture through what Isaiah is saying here, that the Lord is aware of what's going to happen, and he gives a redemptive scenario for what's to come for the Israelites. So we see here in verse 1, and actually, I want to read this in the New American Standard is more accurate, but the Amplified version gives a little bit more detail that I think can help us understand. And so verse 1, I'm just going to read the first two verses here. It says, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, the captive Jews in Babylon, and will again choose Israel and set them in their own land. And foreigners who are proselytes will join them and will cleave to the house of Jacob Israel." As we see happening in Esther 8:17, coming into Purim, being in Purim. And verse 2, "And the peoples of Babylonia shall take them and bring them to their own country of Judea and help them restore, and the house of Israel will possess the foreigners who prefer to stay with them in the land of the Lord as male and female servants, and they will take captive, not by physical, but by moral might, those whose captives they have been, and they will rule over their former oppressors." So even in this situation that they're in of being captives of the Babylonian Empire, be brought back and restored. And we see that happening in later books within the Bible. And the if you go on to read it, it talks about in Isaiah what is to happen to Babylon and its kings, and how God deals with them for their issues. And I think in today's battle that we're seeing play out in the natural and in the spiritual as well, is that God has a purpose for this all, to restore, in Isaiah, Israel back to the foundations that the Lord had them, to get them in right standing, moral right standing with the Lord. But also, as we see what's happening in Ukraine, is there are issues, there's corruption in Ukraine. That's just as there are issues and corruptions in our nation and in most nations in the world. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, the scripture says in Romans. So right now, God's revealing this stuff, but also showing, and he has been showing the purpose and the plans, not only of the enemy, but of the Lord as well, through all of this. Now, the prayer point that is talked about in this redeeming our reordering our day is goes along with this for Isaiah 14. It says, ask the Lord to teach you about the ways of the enemy. And this is what can bring you peace in this season. Okay, the enemy's doing this. Okay, Republicans and Democrats are doing this. Okay, they're all doing this. The globalists are doing this. All this stuff out there. Okay, God, what is their purpose? Okay, we can see some of that. Some of it true, some not so true. But then do not let the enemy overwhelm you. And if we're letting the enemy overwhelm us, we're not walking in the peace that the Lord wants us to have. And then he goes on to decree that you will see your enemy for what he truly is. Bringing that peace, bringing that wisdom, bringing that revelation, so we can walk out the love and peace of the Father and the light in our lives, so that we can be a light and show love to those around us, whether that be in our homes, if we work from home, whether that be in our places of work, in our businesses that we own, etc. And I think this is a great point and a great foundation for us to start our day in and start living in as well. From this place of peace and from victory, knowing not to be totalitarian, but to be redemptive for even those around us who may need grace, to pull them out of their sin, just as God pulled us out of our sin of seasons past. Okay. I wanted to lay that foundation because I think that's very key for what's happening right now. And I want to play a clip. I'm going to play it on a faster speed because it's about a 4.5 minute clip. I'll play it at 1.5. It's from Chris Reed this past weekend and talking about the situation in Ukraine and Russia. And he outlines what the Lord's been showing them. And he's been right in line with what's happening. And look, there's a lot of information out about this, that, and the other. There's a lot of different people, both Republican, Democrats, saying things about our government, the Ukrainian government, the Russian government. Look, there's a lot out there, but we need to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you showing the prophets? What are you showing us in this season? And so I want to play this to give us a great understanding for what the Lord has shown prophets in this nation.
And I think this plays into the narrative of what's going on in Ukraine and Russia right now. The Lord has shown me several things about what's...
And his sermon from this Sunday, I watched the first portion of it. He was dealing with Psalms 139:16 about the Lord, how he knew about us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And he goes on to talk about some end time scenarios and what he thinks is playing out right now in Revelations. So it has a lot to do with how we're supposed to stand here in the day and age. But he gets into the issue of here with Ukraine and Russia.
It's happening there. And despite whatever good in the past God used in Vladimir Putin, the Lord began to show me that there was something within the Black Sea stirring like some kind of portal of darkness and smoke that I felt like was a portal of darkness that had been opened through occult activity that has released an insanity and a violence and an aggression right there And it really is almost a David and Goliath thing. And despite however you feel about Zelensky and Putin, the courage of the Ukrainian people and the courage of the Russian people to speak out.
That's very key. Both sides are speaking out because the governments are doing things that are against not only the will of God, but against the desires and hearts and minds of the people within those nations. But let's take a step back of dealing with the fact that there's a lot of things out there. Is we need to stop getting into our emotions, picking sides, and hear what the Lord says. And a lot of what he said with the occultic and things, that's confirmation of what we've seen, what others around the body of Christ and around the world have seen. As more news starts to come out of prophets, there's Elaine sent me an article from Charisma talking about how there's a lady who had a lot to deal with in Ukraine saying the same things about how what Putin was doing was very demonically inspired. So that's confirmation for what's going out there. And then also, we have to stay focused on what the Lord says and not get caught up in our emotions. God will deal with the corruption in the time and the season that it needs to be dealt with. But he can also use what the enemy meant for evil to turn it for good for a redemptive purpose. And this is where understanding the plans of the enemy, understanding who your enemy is, will help. And it goes along the scripture that we as believers need to have as well, of knowing those who labor among you, whether they're with you or against you. Know those who labor among you. You know them by their fruit. And this is the key thing of what he's talking about here.
Do not be quieted. Do not be silenced. God's doing something. His activity, despite the enemy is at work, his activity is going on there. And he's raising up, as I said on New Year's, anybody remember, watch Poland on December 31st.
And what he's about to say now is for the future. Okay, here's what's happening. Even in Isaiah, okay, Babylon came in, made Israel his captive, took him away, but then he brought him back and then prepared prophetically through Isaiah, showing them the next steps, showing them what's after.
First, I stood right at this spot. Watch Poland, as you see this restructuring of Eastern and Western Europe, and Moscow's about as east as you can go. And what we're seeing, some of these small Western nations like Poland, watch Estonia. Estonia is going to be a stone in David's sling to slay the giant.
That's very powerful. But also Poland, one of the most forefront nations fighting for life. It has its issues. One of the most forefront nations for being an example for standing up for life on the abortion issue and the fight for life there. They're standing up, walking into the destiny that the Lord has for them. And Estonia as well. I don't know much about them, but Estonia is stepping up, as he says here.
God is giving grace right now amidst all of this. And I think we need to be guarding our minds to all kinds.
That is key. Guarding our minds in this season.
Of crazy narratives, even conspiracy theory stuff right now. Let me tell you, there are people genuinely suffering. There's corruption in Ukraine government and Russian government, but there's innocent people suffering right now. And in that whole David and Goliath narrative, 1 Samuel 17:35, this is when David was about to face Goliath, and he's talking to Saul, and he says, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Now, this is what David did when he was explaining that when a sheep in his pasture of the lion or the bear came to attack.
And in this scenario, Ukraine is David versus Goliath. I mean, in military warfare time, they should not be winning the battles that they're winning, but they are because the Lord is with them. Now, there are destructions happening and things happen, but just like in modern day Israel, there are battles that Israel wins that they shouldn't win because supernatural things happen. And those things are happening. We're learning of them more and more as the battle continues. In part, it's natural. Russia just wasn't prepared, wasn't logistically prepared. They haven't fought a war in forever. And look, we struggled with that when we went into Iraq and Iran. I mean, when we Iraq and Afghanistan. But we're seeing the Lord is using that to his advantage to redeem the purpose and to call out the people of Ukraine, to call the people of Russia to seek him. You know, that appeal to heaven here for America. They're appealing to heaven right now. Because they've appealed to world leaders. They've appealed to other nations, and they're crying out to God for his wisdom and revelation as the steps for them to take in this season.
He spared the sheep by taking hold of the lion and the bear. I believe what the Lord is doing right now in Eastern Europe, I believe Putin's war will fail. It's going to fail. It'll be aborted. Some of you that have watched Prophetic Perspectives, you know what I've shared. The Lord's going to, this is not going to end well.
And he believes the Lord will end up dealing with Putin in his time, you know, in the season of Purim, as the story of Esther goes, Haman being hung on his gallows. That's basically what he's prophesied there.
For him, whatever connection he had with God in the past, I'm praying for him, but I believe there was consulting of the occult that has kindled the anger of the Lord towards this situation.
And that's what we've had, just like Hitler consulted with the occult in his takeover of Europe. Putin himself has to get back the former Soviet nations and nations that had lost to the former Soviet empire.
Towards him. And he will not survive this. Even his life will not survive this. I don't know if there's time or grace, but I'm telling you, this is what the Lord has shown me. And I believe there's a realignment. Some smaller nations, nameless, faceless nations, some are going to rise, some are going to fall. Some smaller nations, and I know many of you are filtering this prophetic word through, you know, different news sources and things you're hearing, but this is from the Lord. And I am praying that through this persecution and whatever is happening in these corrupt governments, that a mighty outpouring and breakout of revival, follow the persecution, and wherever persecution is, the revival.
That's key, is when we're listening to all this stuff, and we try to do that here, of what is the redemptive purpose of God? What is God trying to stir up in the hearts and minds of men in this season so that the gospel kingdom message can be shared, so that people can be healed, can be delivered, to getting back into the will and the timeline of the Lord, not only for their nations, but for their lives, so that they can fulfill the destiny that they have over their nation as well. So let's take that. If you need to pray about it, hear if that's the Lord. This is what Chris Reed's been saying. He's been pretty accurate. Obviously, we want to pray the end of this war. That's what we want to continue praying for our leaders to have the wisdom and revelation when dealing with Russia, Ukraine, and China as well, and pray against this war. As today, President Biden is expected to go on a phone call with the Chinese President Xi to have a discussion to try to strong on him not to fund Russia. So he needs wisdom there. If you've seen what he said past couple of days, he needs prayer as well. And then also continued intercede for him to have that blanket of protection during his moments of dementia, so that his staff does not take advantage of him for the detriment of our nation now and in the days ahead. And then some news, upcoming things we need to pray for. And so that kind of all ties back into economic issues. And our third point of praying for our leaders to have wisdom and revelation when it comes to economic policies is that now Fauci has made his reappearance in saying that there is a new strand, BA2 is what they're calling it now, the scientific term. It's supposedly 80% more contagious than Omicron, but it doesn't cause hospitalizations and or deaths, which is the real metric you should be looking at, even with COVID and et cetera. And what this now leads to is the continued push for mandates. Government overreach is the real issue here. And then with that, because of this, he is asking legislatures for more than what was asked for and has been asked for and given in the $22.5 billion for COVID-19 response because, he says in his words, we will not be able to do the kind of research to address the inevitable next variant if we don't get the funding that we're talking about. Nancy Pelosi has asked for $45 billion in funding because of the very same reason. She says that we need to meet the testing, vaccine, therapeutic needs of the U.S. and larger global community. Now, you take that at the same time they ask for this with the news coming out of Ukraine that we might be funding biolabs, bioweapons labs, however you want to put it. We're giving money to Ukraine to do that type of research that Fauci is asking for. That's okay, but you have the other news that we funded the labs in Wuhan, which is believed, and evidence shows that it might possibly be the ground zero for the China virus. So the issue at play here is there needs to be a pause on all of this, of asking for money, of research. Legislators need, they need wisdom and revelation to look in this stuff. This is why I want to pray for them on that economic issue. And look, the White House itself has come out and said that while Americans are getting back to normal life, we can't forget that COVID-19 isn't going away. They gave it a little reprieve. They let some pressure out of the bubble a little bit so that they could inflate it again, continue for government overreach. That's what we want to stand and pray against now and in the season ahead, because there were a lot of things done in the last season that could possibly happen if there was really a scenario where we would need to listen to the medical experts, but they cried wolf, and people are tired of it. People do not want the government overreach, and the medical community, who are advocating for more mask mandates right now and fourth round of vaccines, which have worked so well in Israel, even though they're continuing to see spikes since people took the vaccines. There was a warning from the Lord that we had and others had about be careful about this virus, this vaccine, more so. Because the vaccine will kill more people than the virus itself will. Will we ever know that? Actually, we'll see that. The CDC and FDA are removing, because of coding errors, numbers of deaths on their website. Go on their website. On the bottom, it says coding error. Due to a coding error, we removed 30,000 deaths on this. Interesting. And then one thing you're also going to see, pay attention to this. You're going to see this more often, and it's not being reported here in the United States a lot, is that professional athletes at the prime of their careers are having blood clot issues. This story is about world number two golfer, Nelly Korda, 23 years old, being diagnosed with a blood clot, not saying whether she's vaccinated or not. Others who have had blood clots, out of the norm, not genetic, no history of it before. In their lives or in their family's lives, are all of a sudden having these blood clots. That, watch this stuff come out. It's been happening in Europe. It's been happening in Asia. Professional athletes collapsing on the field. Some having seizures, some dying. It's a warning and evidence to what's going on in the situation as they push. Moderna is pushing for the government to an emergency act mandate, a round two, and Fauci is now pushing for a fourth round of boosters as people's immunity dries up or ends in his eyes. So it's a warning. Also something to pay attention to, which I think is more alarming, is the news that came out that Biden's selection for the U.S. Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, has a very alarming record of being soft on sexual predators and people who are involved with child pornography and sex trafficking, where she has legitimately gone in and tried to change and lower the standard for laws of punishment towards sex traffickers and child pornographers. Tries to downplay the perversion that's there for them, that, oh, they're just collectors. Oh, they're just involved in a community. And Josh Hawley's been doing research and looking at her rulings and some of her statements from a public seat and a public judge. And we talked about it before about how there's some red flags about how she's been a political activist. And she's been a political activist from the seat of a judge. And our legislators need to have wisdom, those who are in the position to confirm her nomination and then put her forward and as a Supreme Court justice would be very alarming. They need wisdom, both on the right and the left. Even Lindsey Graham, who backed her, has now gone silent on her because he's been kind of pro-war right now. He's not really focused on this, but he's even gone silent on this. And so they're even in her record of punishing predators, put it very lightly. She goes below the threshold of what is normal. So there's a very alarming case, and this is just what Holly has initially found out. What happens when you look deeper into her? And again, there's going to be cries for racism, which is totally unfounded from the left, because we're looking at her record. We're looking at what she says, what she does. We're knowing her by her fruits. We're understanding who she is. The red flags are flying up everywhere. So let's pray that they have wisdom revelation now and in the days ahead, because they don't have to confirm her. He could make another selection. Now, would she be, would that person be any better? He says, is it going to be a African-American female, black female? That's still up for discussion. But they need to have wisdom and revelation in all of this as they're going to try to cram this through. And with the whole Ukraine issue, it's being silent. So I wanted to bring this up to us as we need to be aware of this issue. And then also know this, is that dealing with this inflation issue, and I want to be brief on this, but there's an issue at play here that's coming out from Democrats on the left and even Jerome Powell at the Fed, saying that right now inflation is continuing because corporations are price gouging and that there are problems here, while at the same time asking for $45 billion for COVID spending for future research where we have problems with what's going on in Ukraine and Wuhan. But I want to point out to one thing. There's a host of issues happening, but there was one thing that Joe Manchin said after Biden's State of the Union address. He said he walked away from it and saying, I've never found out that you can lower costs by spending more, because that's supposedly what Biden said. I'm going to lower costs, but I'm also, because I'm going to spend money over here. That's not how basic math works. You don't subtract by addition. And one thing that is very key, and this is why we need to continue to pray for leaders as well, Republican and Democrat, is that if you can see this here highlighted, I'll read it, is that Senate Democrats, they're having a discussion and discrepancies within their own party about what to do. And they acknowledge their internal divisions over how to combat inflation, but they argue that at least they're putting forward ideas and criticize Republicans for just complaining about rising prices from the sidelines. And that is huge, because in politics, what happens in a lot of cases is they don't go with the best idea. They go with the idea that's presented before them. And if there is no other idea and they're being pressured to do something, saying no, not doing anything in today's political world is not a step that they usually take. And so when you have Republicans like Mitch McConnell saying, you have to vote us in to see what we do, and we've seen how that works from the Democratic side of Obamacare, Nancy Pelosi saying it, of you have to pass it to see what's in it. People have been down that road. If Democrats are proposing something, we can't be surprised that when Republicans don't propose anything, that they go with the option that's in front of them. And so we need wisdom and revelation from our leaders, intercede for that. And to close out on this is the idea that is being proposed as the sole reason for why inflation is continuing to rise. This is coming out from Elizabeth Warren, and she's the spearhead on this, and I'm seeing this a lot in circles out there, that this is the reason why your price for gas is so high. This is why the price of your eggs, milk, necessities are so high. It's because, well, they're just price gouging you. Number one, and look, even even in this interview that Warren does, she acknowledges that COVID had a lot to play with it, but doesn't acknowledge the fact that stimulus had a lot to play with it. She acknowledges a little bit that the supply chain issues have some to do with play with it, but not understanding why we had the supply chain issues, completely ignoring that. But then goes on to say, well, because of the conglomerations of these big corporations, they're the ones who are doing the evil, that this is why. And I want to point out two statistics that show the very opposite of that. So you have the PPI numbers that came out for February that show that inflation inflation for prices from the producer's standpoint of view rose 10% year over year from the producers. So the cost that it costs for them to produce something is 10% rising. And then the CPI numbers, inflation numbers, increased at 7.9%. That right there shows that these companies are not price gouging. They're actually eating the cost, and there may be some companies who might be. They're eating the cost so that consumers themselves don't have to eat that cost as prices really do climb. And so I want to point this out because this is a generalized statement coming from Elizabeth Warren and is being proposed and being written because what's happening is inflation is being written off of not acknowledging what fruit has come of the disastrous decisions made from government over the past 2.5 years of the stimuluses and everything involved in that. And so we have to be aware and acknowledge, no matter who made the decisions, and we have to see the fruits of those labors, understand them, pray that those who are in these positions be awakened, be revived, and if they can't, pray for our future leaders to understand these decisions and have wisdom and revelation when making proposals now and in the seasons ahead. So I bless each and every one of you for following along with me today. I'm going to close on that. Don't forget, we have our noon prayer today, online only, closing out this week of giving an update on scenarios and updates on what prophetic we have of heading into this week. And let's remember that we can find our hope in the Lord when we focus on what the Lord's saying and not get caught up in the whispers in the wind that may or may not be true. While we're in a season that could cause confusion, and that's been a warning from Chuck for a while. Listen to the Lord, because you could get confused in this season if you're not paying attention to what the Lord is saying. So blessings closed on that. Thank you, everyone, for following with me, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom.